please be seated.
Good morning. We have three passages this morning. First one coming out of the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 55, starting with verse 10. Give you a moment to look for that. All right. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be the Lord's renown for an everlasting sign, which will not be destroyed. The second reading comes out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you will be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to you, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those that heard it did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God had said, "So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest." And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, "And on the seventh day, God rested from all his work." And again, in the passage above, he says, "They shall never enter my rest." It still remains that some will enter his rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about that day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest shall from his own work, just as God did, or shall God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall short by following their example of disobedience. For the word of the God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before his eyes, before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And then finally, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 4 through 16. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and when it came up, the plant withered because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked out the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The disciples asked him what the parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those people who hear, But as they go on their way, they are choked out by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the words, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop.
If you'll stay up here, Hank, I'm going to use you as a part of my children's sermon. Kids, come on down. I'll stand you right up over here. Right about there. Face these guys that way. Good. Perfect. Good morning. Good morning. I need your help today to do the sermon, or the children's sermon, okay? So I'm going to line you up over on this side, and the object is every time I tell you take a step, you can take a step. And the object is to get over here and touch him so that he's that safety point. You put your hand on his hand or his leg or whatever you want to touch. And that's what you're going to do. If you don't make it, no candy for you. But here's what's hard. You can only take the step when I tell you. And if I touch you, you're dead. You fall down. Right where I touched you. Ah. So, you can't. Because I am going to be that much. Yes, well, we'll see. I hope this works. Yes. Yes. Here we go. Stand up. Stand up. Come on. That good. Come on down. Line up right here. Yeah. Remember, the object is simply get from here over there to touch him. Okay. And you can. He'll just hold all his hands like that. You just touch his hands. It means you're safe. Okay. We're all going to walk that way. So just face him. Everyone face him. So watch. I'll go take a step, and all of you go like this. Step. Take another step. See, as I get close now, that's perfect, good. But if I touch you, what do you have to do? You have to fall down and you don't get to move. No, you're gone. Boop. It's a sad children's sermon. Are you ready? Turn and face the right way. Take a step. All of you take a step. Take a big step. Take a big step. Good. Stop. Ready? Take another step. Good. Careful, I might touch you. Take a step. Ready? Another step.
I want candy.
Another step. Got to pretend to fall down. Just pretend. Like the guy right behind you. Attaboy, just fall down. Perfect. Look it, he's down, sitting down. Or stand there, it's fine. Another step. Another step. Another step. Another step. Another step. You're dead. Ready? Another step. Another step. Oh, you're dead. You're dead. You're dead. Go ahead, touch him. You're all dead. Lay down. Sit down. You made it. Good. Perfect. Climb back in the chairs. Climb in the chairs. Now, this is a sad race. You know what made it so sad? So many of you did not make it. And you're not getting any candy. That's what's sad. But it's an important lesson, so thank you all. Oh, how would you like that race to really end that way? Well, we'd all shake our heads no, right? We don't want the race to end that way. Well, in my sermon, we're going to be talking about a race that we're all in. And rather than Hank being over here and walking over and just giving him a high five or whatever, you slapped his hand there, what you're going to understand that that's Jesus standing over there, and he wants every one of us to win the race so that no one comes along and touches us so that we fall down away from our faith in God. So you are showing the congregation how hard it is to get from this point to that point And that's what I wanted them to learn from you today. Now, you got to listen in the sermon, because we're going to be talking about big people and how sometimes they fall down and they don't get up, and their reward is not candy. They're not going to heaven. So this is a happy, sad, serious, and also important lesson to learn. Can you remember that? Good. You all do get candy today, though. All right? And you get two kinds. All right? Here we go. Bring it over here. One from one bag and one from the other bag. All right, go. Take time. One from each. Oh, thank you. One from each bag. You're welcome. You're welcome. One from each bag.
I'm taking this.
You're welcome, honey. You're welcome. Thank you. I used to get myself in trouble sometimes pointing out to my administrators at church or at school that the Word of God accomplishes its purposes, whether you like them or not. And I said, the hardest thing in the world for a religion teacher is to have a kid in his class who doesn't love Jesus, hates the religion teacher, and doesn't want to be in the school in some cases, because what you're doing is you're destroying the kid right in front of you while they say you're evangelizing him. And I'd say, no. I said, the Word of God is powerful, active, sharper than a double-edged sword. And the Word of God accomplishes one of two things always. It either softens the heart, fills the person with hope, grace, and encouragement, and builds them up and draws them closer to Jesus Christ. Or the second option is it hardens them. It's summarized in a little phrase that I've heard said, the sun can do different things on different pieces of, on different properties, different things that you hold out in front of it. It softens wax. The same sun that softens wax hardens clay. And I said, this is the hardest thing in the world to do. Because what that individual unbelieving student needed was individual response. When I'm giving solid food to 3/4 or more of the class, and I've got a student or two or five in there who are just at an individual point of anger, disappointment, frustration, or wherever they're at with God, they don't want to listen. They don't want to learn. And all I'm doing is giving them something that if I'm not careful will simply harden their heart. Or I can dumb down what I give the rest of the kids. So that was always a perpetual dilemma in varying degrees, depending upon how many kids you had there that were objectively really fighting against and not wanting to be associated with anything that God gives. Now, one of the things that you also are going to hear in the text this morning is a concept called hardening your heart. I mean, it's my Valentine's Day theme. Don't harden your heart. All right? Because you can do it so easily. Okay? We can make it all red, rosy, and flowers and sweets and candies and everything else like that. But you know how difficult sometimes it is to love one another, forgive one another, move forward, put new commitment and understanding in life into a relationship and everything else like that. And so this concept of hardening becomes important also. When the Spirit of God taps you on the shoulder and says, I'm talking to you today. Today our text will say, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Hearing His voice means God may be talking to you about the way you treat your parents. God may be talking to you about how you think, what your motivations are, how you react to some people, how you haven't forgiven some people 2, 5, 10, 25 years ago, how you still live with the same hurts, angers, and bitternesses. The Spirit of God's going, today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. And so hardening your heart is when the Spirit taps you on the shoulder, enters your heart, speaks to you, but instead of repenting and dealing with it, you refuse to repent. I'm not going to forgive him. I don't have to deal with her. She is a really hard woman to live with. And she might be. He is a really hard man to live with. And he might be. But you have to understand what the challenge today, to hear today if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Now, that's the relevance of what we're speaking of. I pray to God, I speak the gospel and a good word from the word of God, but the promise is this: my word will not return to me void. It will accomplish what I send it to do. Like rain and snow and everything else, it's either going to get wet or it's going to get muddy or it's going to make it grow, but the rain comes down and it accomplishes its purposes. Out of all the choices God could have picked in that example in Isaiah, he picked that one because you could relate to it. All right? Some people run out in the rain going, oh, this is so cool, rain. Ah, and they chase raindrops or dance through the puddles like I saw in a movie once. Right? You never did that? Good. And the answer is the next person, rain, I hate rain. Right? It's the same rain. How it responds in terms of your heart and what it does inside of you is all dependent here. And so while the text is going to be relevant to the people that I'm going to read to or has been read to from Hebrews, it's also very relevant to us today because God is calling us to this point where we need to understand God is going to accomplish his purposes. And I go, one of the things that the last one I'm going to share before I get to the real sermon is we had grief share this week. And I shared something that I thought everybody kind of understood. Happiness is based on what's happening. So when the sun is shining and it's 67 degrees in February and my true love has just sent me the most wonderful flowers, cards, candy, or has taken me out to someplace, to the ball game or whatever, and whatever it's going to be, then I am happy. All right? And I said, happiness is always based on what's happening. Joy has nothing to do with what's happening. They're two totally different things. Joy is a byproduct of the Holy Spirit in your life and a faithfulness and an understanding and obedience between you and God and the working of the Holy Spirit. He produces joy when it rains. He produces joy when the sun is shining. He produces joy when you're happy. He produces joy when you're sad. And God does not promise you happiness. Nor does the Holy Spirit bring you happiness because you're way too fickle. The happiness the farmer celebrates when it starts to rain on his crop is totally different than the sadness the kid cries when he wants to play his baseball game. But joy is when you begin to understand the Holy Spirit is working in my life right in the middle of this, producing an intimacy of faithfulness to God, even in the middle of difficult or impossible circumstances. So here's the message. God wants you to hear, today if you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. Why? How many kids you want to see laying in real life? 3/4 of the people that we have in the analogy or the parable of the sower and the seed don't grow. They go to hell. You got 4 examples, 3 of them fail. I tried to knock down, give or take, 3/4 of all the kids up here. Are you in favor of that taking place? Do you want to see that happen to your children? Excuse me, dry throat. What you have to understand is God isn't interested in seeing that either. And yet you begin to understand, even though it's just a touch, something from the world just touches them and it takes them out and it pulls them down and it drags them away from the kingdom of God. And so what did you hear in the parable? Sorry, I have to drink more water. I don't talk enough during the week out loud. When you begin to understand that what God is doing in this is trying to save everybody, He's trying not anyone to be lost, you recognize that this is a beautiful section of invitation and gospel. How many of your children does God want saved? All of them. What's the intent of God's heart? I want to save your sons and your daughters. Every single one of them. And I want your children's children saved too. Do you understand my heart? I want to give all of them that treat, that privilege, that candy, that gift of heaven. That's my heart for them. That's what He feels toward them. And yet in the middle of this example now, God gives us multiple examples of, He goes, and they didn't listen. As we pick up in chapter 4 of Hebrews and we start to recognize the significance of what is going on there and we begin to understand, it says, let us be afraid. Be scared. Wake up. We can't lose any of them. Why? And He isn't talking about like trembling. He goes, but be courageous. Understand how precious these little ones are. They were just being told they weren't going to get their candy. They didn't even understand all the things that I'm going to necessarily talk to you about today. But the point ultimately is, as He starts off, He says, let's be fearful lest a single person leave the promise that's been given to them there in that section as I start with in verse 1. Of entering His rest still stands. Let's be careful that none of you be found falling short of it. Oh, Pastor, touch me. You have to fall short of the goal. But I don't want to. Too bad. How much can I get back up? Nope. Another one. And another one. And you understand they were illustrating, if I had numbers and you start to understand this, what would I do? If there's four people in your family, one gets saved. There's four people in your row, one person gets to stand up. The rest of you will be lost. And you go, oh my goodness, why? God's going, do you understand how challenging and important this is to me? I don't want anyone lost. Join me in this. Let's be frightened in a positive way. I don't want to lose you. I don't want you to miss out. If I sent them back to you without candy in their hand, they probably would have come back with a few tears. I go, cry for those that we're losing. Cry whether they happen to be in this little example or sitting in front of us, or those that are sitting out there, still COVID fear and everything else that's going on out there, struggling to pay bills and all the other stuff, trying to figure out, what do we do? They want to make me take a shot, and I want to drive my truck, and I don't hardly see anybody for 24 hours a day, but you want to make me get this thing? And I go on and on and on, and you begin to understand, in the middle of this, God is still working. He wants those people all saved. And so you begin to understand what the text ultimately goes on. So He says, I want you to be afraid, to be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of the objective. I don't want you on your knees. I don't want you on the ground. I don't want you tripped up by something that touched you from the world. And it's waiting there for you. Sometimes it's college. Sometimes it's a person you're going to date. Sometimes it's just the uncertainties of life. Sometimes it's the frustration and bitterness of being treated badly or bullied by friends or acquaintances or people at work that don't appreciate what you do or 100 other things that can pull people down and pull people away from the Lord. And so it goes on and He says there, for we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did. Well, the they there are the children of Israel. He goes, do you understand what happened? They were brought out of Egypt. They saw the power of God in 10 plagues. Their children were spared. Their firstborn was spared, while the firstborn of the Egyptians, animals and everything, was killed, died. And they're brought out of slavery rich, because it says they took the gold from the households they worked in. The people let them go because all they wanted to do is get rid of them. So they would go there and take the silverware and the gold and other things. So they went out with their pockets rich, taking that as part of what they had put up with in the middle of the slavery. And they go out into the wilderness, and God dresses them, and he speaks to them from a cloud of fire, and he speaks to them from a cloud of smoke during the day, and you begin to have that whole miracle, miracle after miracle after miracle. Yet, here's the hard part. Most of them fell in the desert. Most of them did not make it. Most of them had the gospel. They heard the gospel, but what was connecting for some of them didn't connect for others. And rather than allowing them to enter the promised land, he said, "You will never enter my rest." And that's what God does not want to say to you. He has no interest in saying that to anyone. He goes, "I worked this thing out. I created salvation before I've even finished on the day I rested. This was worked out. It was going to be accomplished. This was in my heart. My son would come and die for your sins. This is the heart of God for the world, for you and I as people." And so he goes on from this point, and he goes there and he says, "Because those heard did not combine it with faith." So you're sitting here, and I'm asking the question, if God's speaking to you, are you combining the Word, not me, the Word, with faith in God? I think I shared with you last Sunday, the two pastors, they said, if you're talking to people, don't ask them if they're Christian. Ask them if they're a follower of Jesus. Would people know you as a follower of Jesus? You know, my doctor, my nurse, my mother, my uncle, my aunt, my cousin, my best friend is a follower of Jesus. Would they know you as that? And I go, "That great question. Here it's presented in a different way." He goes, "Those who heard the gospel combined it with faith were followers of Jesus. But those who by disobedience did not follow it," then Jesus says, "So I declared on an oath, in my anger, they shall never get the candy. They shall never enter my rest. They're not going to make it." I don't want any of the little ones that were up here not making it. I don't want anyone in my congregation not making it. I don't want anyone in my family not making it. But the hard part is some walk a different path. The hard part is you can only do so much. But you need to understand, my Lord is right here with me, on my side, in front of me, leading me, behind me, encouraging me, and carrying me through the circumstances of my life, going, "I know where I want you to get. I know what I need from you. I know who I want to save through you. I don't want to lose any of the little ones because they have fallen short of the goal." And so you and I begin to understand how this text begins to apply to us, and we begin to recognize the significance of it and understand exactly what God's doing here. So he goes on from there, "I don't want any of you, after this gospel has been preached to," as he points it out, "to fail because you copied them." Why are you copying the Jews? Why are you just like the Israelites? Why are you celebrating, "Give us a golden calf, that's all that matters"? Why would you get like that? Well, it's appealing. It has good-looking girls and handsome men. It means money, wealth, and drinking, and partying, and other things. Why do you think they celebrate it and worship the golden calf? They worship it because that's what they wanted. They were choosing, and they were falling down. So on the one hand, from an earthly perspective, you saw them dancing around. From a heavenly spirit perspective, you saw them falling flat on their face and losing it, the very gift of salvation the gospel had offered to them. And so as God carries this through, he finally comes to verse 7 where he says, "Today if you hear his voice," all right, "don't harden your heart." Why? Because it's easy to harden my heart when I'm at the party worshiping the golden calf with a good-looking girl and drinking and partying and a belly full of food, because then it's really hard to think about God. But when I see a little one knocked down and threatened with no candy, knowing that they'll cry, I have enough sensitivity and brains actually empathize, didn't you? I heard some people go, aw. You're not getting any, aw, candy. And I go, we can empathize and understand that, but sometimes we don't understand how easy it is for us to get caught in that very thing. So now he says, don't harden your heart. Don't ignore when God's tapping you. Don't let yourself go down that path. And then he carries you to that next thought that he starts in verse 9, okay? Therefore, there remains for us a heavenly place to go, a resting place for the people of God. And he goes on in verse 10. If you look at verse 10 then, let me find it for me here. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his work, just as God did from his work. So I go, here's my promise. God has already won for me, carries me, accomplishes for me in Christ what I need. God goes, I'm calling you. Don't lose what I have for you. As he picks you up to carry you where he needs to carry you, we poke him in the eyes and say, put me down. Get your hands off me. I don't want to go where your spirit wants to lead me. I don't want to go. I want to choose the world. I don't care if I don't get the candy. I can always make up for it later. And 100 other similar excuses, and it goes on from there. Therefore, make every effort to enter into the rest so that no one will fall by following that bad example. Then he points out again, the Word of God is living, active, sharper than a double-edged sword, penetrates, divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judges the thoughts and attitudes of your heart. Nothing at all in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before his eyes of him you have to give an account for. You don't give an account to me. I only see what I see sometimes on a Sunday morning. I don't see how you behave the rest of the week any more than you see. I don't see what you get hooked on the internet with. I don't see how you talk to your wife or your husband. I'm not smart enough to read your minds. I'm not clear enough on anything in your past that you either have lived in an unforgiven, unwilling to repent way. I know none of those things unless you and I are able to have that level of communication with one another. But this text says this, don't play games with God. Don't play games. If he was willing to leave his people in the wilderness because of their unfaithfulness and disobedience and unrepentance, don't play games with God. Let the healing he wants to do in you today if you hear his voice. Don't harden your heart as they did in the days of that situation. And so you begin to go, God, you're really just calling me today. This whole text is about to have such a nice place for you to rest. Aren't you tired of all the stress and the strain? Don't you want to just kind of, and I go, the word for rest is recline. Kind of lay back in the arms of Jesus and just goes, and he's holding you. If you understand the gospel, God says, may I carry you? Yes, Lord, carry me. And like a little one, you know, just like little children, so yeah, they go, I can't walk another step. And you pick them up in your arms and you throw them over your shoulder. They fall asleep. Why? Because they're absolutely at peace, comfortable with who's carrying them, dad or mom or whoever happens to be. And you begin to understand. God says, that's what I want for you. I want to carry you. I want to take away all that junk that you live with, that burdens you down, that knocks you down. Just focus enough. Don't let anything take this from you. And so you begin to recognize God has saved you because of his undeserved love that he's given you and me. Now there are people in your life and my life that need that same kind of love, mercy, and forgiveness. Let's pray. Lord, I don't see people the way you do sometimes. But when I do, Lord, my heart melts and I begin to become a different person. I don't listen to you very clearly sometimes. And I pretend you didn't say that. Or you certainly could not have meant me or my relationship with this or that person. but when your word penetrates my heart and cuts me to the quick and opens me up until there's nothing left for me to do but say, your will, O Lord, not mine. In the middle of that situation, Lord, your word accomplishes its purposes. It softens my heart. It gives me life. It gives me hope. And it challenges me into the new steps where you want to take me. Lord God, I have hardened my heart toward you sometimes. I have seen the work of your Holy Spirit break that apart and in some cases have to break me just to get me to the point where I'm willing to listen. And other times I've experienced your love, Lord, so thoroughly that I'm washed from the inside out and I begin to hear and see and think about people, life, and circumstances from a brand new perspective. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you love me even though I'm one of those that the seed has such a difficult time growing with and growing on. And yet at the same time, Lord, I want to be fertile ground. I want what you have for me today. And so, Lord, use each of us as you see fit to accomplish your purposes. Come and bless us to that end, we pray. Amen.